Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
The Tennis Podcast.
The Tennis Podcast.
Hello, it's day four of the Aegon Championships at the Queen's Club. So this is your daily podcast. I'm Catherine Ritter, and helping me put words into your ears is my cohort this week, Gigi Salmon. David Beckham was in attendance today as Cilic, Query, Medvedev and Lopez all made it through to the quarterfinals. Marin Cilic is Mr. Nice Guy, but his coach Jonas Björkman opens up to us about how the Croat rules his team with an iron rod.
He's more like a dictator there. We call him the president, and I'm not sure. I think more of a dictator is more the right word.
This is the Tennis Podcast Daily from the Aegon Championships at the Queen's Club, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. Gigi.
Hello.
The quarterfinal lineup is set. We are courtside at the Aegon Championships. The ambiance you can hear in the background is that of the jovial Queen's Club members. That is a running theme in our podcast this week. The joviality never ends for the Queen's Club members.
No, and there's a few more hours for them to become yet more jovial. It's weird. If we look ahead of us, we have the joviality of the members bar with everyone with a drink, a pint of a drink in hand. But if we turn round, we've got the serenity of centre court that's been stripped of everything. It is just a court now. There is no net, no chair, no nothing, no broomsticks. Everything's been swept and
put
away. Well,
the man with a broomstick over his shoulder is actually just departing the centre court, because what happens to the centre court after play has finished is that they take all of the court furniture off, they remove the net, they sweep the court with broomsticks, they do a little bit of additional sweeping with a dustpan and brush, they put it all into a bin bag, then Graham Kimpton comes on and mows the court and paints the lines and it gets covered for tomorrow. It is a very exact science, the maintenance of a grass court of this standard. So plenty more maintenance still to come, all spectated by the jovial Queen's Club members and for a brief period by us, Gigi.
Yeah, they're sort of spectating, aren't they? I think they're more interested in the drinking and the chatting.
Yes, I think at this stage of the evening they're interested in drinking and chatting. They've seen four tennis matches of varying degrees of drama. What would you say was the match of the day?
I think looking through the matches that we saw, and I think what we were interested in, Daniil Medvedev against Tanasi Kokkinakis didn't quite live up to what we thought it could be, possibly because Tanasi Kokkinakis, and he's told this to you, he's not sure how the body will react from one day to the next. And it was such a big win in his first round against Milos Raonic. We have to remember that he's still coming back to the tour, and Daniil Medvedev beat him on grass. Grass is Medvedev's favourite surface last week in Rosmalen. I think today was more an interesting day. I was interested to see if Jordan Thompson could back it up after Andy Murray. He didn't. I was interested to see how Stefan Kozlov would do up against someone of the calibre of Marin Cilic. And then Feliciano Lopez, I think we always expect him to make fairly light work of Jeremy Shardy.
Yeah, in terms of our next-gen storyline, it's looking thin on the ground, isn't it? We have only Mr. Daniil Medvedev remaining, who completed a pretty comprehensive victory over Tanasi Kokkinakis, fellow next-genner, earlier on today. This is pure speculation at this stage, but I rather suspect, given the nature of that defeat for Kokkinakis, that there probably was something physical involved. That's not to say that Medvedev wouldn't still have beaten him on a level playing field, and it's still to be confirmed, but I rather suspect that there was something physical involved, because it just wasn't the same Kokkinakis that we saw beating Milos Raonic on Tuesday.
No, it wasn't, and it must be frustrating for Kokkinakis, but at the same time, he's been out for such a long time. He knows the likelihood of something happening is quite high because of what he's been through, because of little niggles coming back. But he has to take away the positives from this week. What he achieved, that win over Milos Raonic, being back out here on court. He is on tour. He's got a house in Southfields for 3 weeks. He'll be hoping to take this form forward. There are still three Wimbledon wildcards to be announced, and you would like to hope that he would be awarded one of those.
I'd be very surprised if he wasn't. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I can't really think of anybody that would be ahead of him in the queue for one of those three. All these sort of obvious Brits have received a wild card already. Tommy Haas, I completely understand that wild card. He's doing his farewell tour in 2017.
Dennis Shapovalov.
We know he won't be on. Yeah, he's already got one. I can't really think of anybody more deserving. I mean, I would have said that probably before this week, given everything he's gone through. But the win over Milos Raonic, having been given the wild card in here, I think justifies it even further. So I keep my fingers crossed for Kokkinakis. But it is Daniil Medvedev that progresses through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and before we carry on talking about the Russian, let's hear from him, because I managed to, once he'd done all his press duties and been to see the physio, I managed to have a little chat with him.
I play very flat, so this is perfect for grass. I have the good serve, which is not amazingly strong, but is very consistent, so this is also good for grass. And I just like the feeling of playing on grass. So,
and yeah. What's it been like to be part of this tournament and to be out there playing on the centre court?
Well, first of all, I was a bit lucky to get in. I was the last one and I didn't expect it. So last moment I got in, and now I'm in the quarterfinal. I played two really good matches, won two very good opponents. So I'm just very happy and delighted to be here.
We're following the hashtag NextGen, this race to Milan. But tell us a little bit about you. Firstly, as a tennis player, what do you believe your strengths are as a tennis player?
I would say my backhand is pretty good. But after I take myself as a very universal player, I don't really have weak parts in my game, so that's my strength.
Are you able to switch off from tennis? What do you like to do to just not think about tennis?
I play PlayStation when I don't want to think about tennis.
And you were able to completely switch off, or is it there somewhere?
When I play PlayStation, it's only PlayStation. I don't think about tennis 1 minute.
And does it help to have other Russians on the tour, Andrei Rublev and Karen Khachanov? I'm thinking about the sort of fellow next-gen stars. Is it nice to have those guys with you?
Yeah, of course, because we are competing with each other. We always want to be the best among us three. And once one does a good result, other ones try to do better. So right now, me and Rublev, we are trying to catch Khachanov. Let's see how it goes.
Is it nice to have the next-gen finals to aim for in Milan at the end of the year?
Of course, because all the young players now are playing really good tennis. Some of them won ATP already, were in the final, won a lot of challengers. And it's a big challenge to be in Milan, because I think by how it is going, you have to be almost top 50 to get there.
And in terms of goals, at the age you are now, do you set goals for the year? Is it tournament by tournament? What would you like to have achieved by the end of 2017?
For me, the main goal is to improve my level of tennis, because I believe that the ranking comes with the level of the game you have during the matches, during the practices. But of course, I set myself also some goals for the ranking. And I would say for this year, if I reach top 50 and manage to finish inside it, I would be happy.
Now, I read somewhere that if you weren't a tennis player, you'd definitely be in sport. What would be the second sport? What are the other favorite sports?
Well, I really love football, but I don't see myself as a football player. After, I don't know, it could be anything. I'm good at swimming, actually. I play chess, so I really like the competitive games. I don't like running, because it's boring for me, I would say. So I like these games like tennis, football, chess, I don't know, everything where you compete with other people.
So he is flying the next-gen flag all of his own. Currently in the live rankings, he's up to 52, which would be a new career high from him. Grass is his favourite surface. He's a confident guy. He talks about the closeness of the Russians, the fellow next-geners on tour at the moment. I mean, he had nerves out there, but he's a confident young man.
Yeah, he definitely is a confident young man. Possibly the first Russian player ever to cite grass as their favourite surface, certainly on the men's side. I think probably on the women's side as well, but certainly on the men's side, going back through the greats of Russian tennis, I can't really think of any. Safin, of course, Kafelnikov, Chesnikov,
his best shot,
Davidenko.
Is the return. He loves this surface. He feels confident when he's on it because he's... And he said that grass is a good surface for him because he's a flat hitter. He likes hitting the ball flat. It works on this surface. He's got a lot of power in his game. And added to that, he's also, at the moment, got a lot of confidence. He got to the quarterfinals in Rosmalen, and he's now to the quarterfinals of his first 500. And he's still flying that hashtag next-gen flag.
Yeah, but sort of sneaking under the radar with the hashtag next-gen flag, not receiving anywhere like the attention that Tanasi Kokkinakis and Denis Shapovalov and all the others received this week, despite the fact that he is next-gen as well.
Hashtag
and he's the only one into the quarterfinals. The same probably applies to Sam Querrey, who no one has been talking about, despite the fact that he is a former champion here in 2010. He's won three today in three sets, 7-6, 3-6, 6-3, against Andy Murray's conqueror, Jordan Thompson. Now, he played well, Jordan Thompson. It wasn't a huge letdown after what happened against Murray 2 days ago. He just was outplayed by the more experienced player. It's like what Greg said when we chatted to him this morning, Greg Rozetsky. We do a Greg's Picks feature with Greg every morning, and he thought today would be a day of experience winning through over naive brilliance, and he was right.
And there's, you should never head into a random stat if you're not quite sure of your random stat, but I'm going to head into it anyway because from what I remember it was quite a good one. But backing up a victory over the world number one is a tough thing to do. When Albert Ramos Vinolas beat Andy Murray in Monte Carlo, he went on to win the next round, he went on to get to the final, lose to Raffanella. It was something like he was only the third or fourth or fifth, one of those three, to actually back up a victory over a world number one. That's how hard it is to do. It takes a lot. Energy, adrenaline, all those kind of things to pull off a victory like that. It doesn't matter if the person in question isn't playing at their peak. Then to come out here and back it up against someone of the experience of Sam Querrey was always going to be tough.
And Sam Querrey, of course, his game, limited as it is, I think that would be fair to say. I think he would admit that himself. He's somebody making the very best of what he has in his game. There are limitations in the movement and on the backhand, but he is somebody whose game is perfectly suited to the grass. And once again, he's playing very well here at the Queen's Club, and we can hear from him.
Jordan played really well. Himself a good tournament last week. Beating Andy Murray the other day must have given him a lot of confidence. And on the grass, it's a surface that really kind of equalizes things. And he's got a big serve and a big game, and it's tough to play him, and made things very tricky. I love coming to this tournament. I love playing on grass. I feel like it's my best surface. And, you guys always love coming back to tournaments that they've won in the past. And even if I didn't win here, it's still such a great tournament. I really love playing here.
So that's Sam Querrey through to the quarterfinals here once again, where he will play Gilles Muller tomorrow. Marin Cilic, Gigi, he has won through today against another hashtag next-genner, Stefan Kozlov. I think Kozlov is somebody who it's still unknown what potential there is in his game. He's still very, very young indeed. He still looks about 11 years old. I know a lot of people think that perhaps his potential isn't necessarily top 10 or top 20, but that all remains to be seen. The fact is, once again, experience won over whatever Stefan Kozlov has to offer at this stage of his career. Marin Cilic was very, very good today.
Yeah, he was. We're going to be hearing from his coach, Jonas Bjorkman, who's going to be reflecting on that match and reflecting on how he did in the doubles, but very experienced. I saw Cilic in the players' lounge afterwards. Some of his team were playing table tennis. He was tucking into a big bowl of pasta. He was smiling. He was chatting. He just looked very relaxed and calm, and so he should be. It is a fantastic opportunity for him this week to get Queen's title number two.
And he plays Donald Young in the quarterfinals. Mr. Donald Young, who I think we covered pretty comprehensively yesterday. I don't think we should talk about him again, lest I insult his height once more. I think I've done enough of that this week. So should we talk about Feliciano Lopez, who beat Jeremy Shardy 6-1, 7-6. I was talking to Simon Reed of Eurosport commentary fame earlier on today. He feels very strongly that Feliciano Lopez is going to win the title here, and I'm not disagreeing with him. I think he has a good chance. For me, he's in the top four contenders, which I know isn't saying much.
Where
in a week
is he in
full
the four,
of
though?
Surprises.
So he's in the, so narrow it down. He's
so
in the four.
I would put it as Cilic, Dimitrov, Burdick, Lopez.
So he's four.
We just got a cheer. The cheer probably wasn't for us, but I think we should take it.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't for us, but we will take it. So you're putting him. So if you're putting him behind Burdick, you're saying he's going to lose to Thomas Burdick in the quarterfinals.
Am I saying that?
Wow, this is
big
news.
Did I say the opposite earlier?
This is big news. Well, I'm the only one that seems to be, for some reason, banging a Burdick drum.
I think what's happened here is that I've been sort of hypnotised by your Burdick
drum
banging.
You've been convinced by my Burdick drum banging, and now you've got him beating Lopez.
I think it's a 50-50.
For me, that's an excellent match to look forward to.
It is. It's the
Such
match of
experience.
The day, isn't it?
They can play on this surface. They've got great results on this surface. And now I'm looking forward to that one. And remember, he got to the final in Stuttgart last week. Feliciano Lopez, he's been to a final here before. Burdick knows his way around a grass court. He's got a point to prove. He doesn't have a coach at the moment. I think that is the one to watch. And it is fourth match on.
It is fourth match on. The order of play for Friday starts off with Sam Querrey against Gilles Muller. I don't know about you, Gigi, but I predict tie breaks.
Lots of tie breaks. Well, three tie breaks.
Do we really think that's going to be three tie break sets?
Yes.
Who is going to win the three tie break sets? He's going to win two of them. Querrey's going to win one. Sorry, Sam, but one tiebreak set is not enough to take you through to an Aegon Championships semi-final. Then we have Marin Cilic versus Donald Young, the classic contrast of styles, if you will. Who's coming through that?
David against Goliath.
Yeah, all the clichés.
I will go Cilic in straight sets.
I think I will too, which means I've sort of semi-insulted Donald Young for about the third day running on this podcast.
I think it's time he leaves the competition, so there'll be no more insults.
Completely I have a great deal of respect for Donald Young. I really hope, if he's listening, or if his mum, his lovely mum, who's been in the players' lounge looking full of the joys of spring, I hope if either of those two are listening, or anyone associated with Donald Young, understands
Donald
that
Young's
I have a great
friends.
Deal of respect for him, but I do think he's going to lose tomorrow. Dimitrov against Medvedev. How many games, this is how you like to predict your Dimitrov matches, how many games is Daniil Medvedev going to get tomorrow?
I think he's going to get a set.
Do you?
I'm so wrong in my prediction. I'm going Dimitrov in three sets, with Medvedev taking the first set 6-4.
Plucky first set, and then a strong,
then Dimitrov's
confident
sort
comeback.
Of say, hang on a second. Yes.
He has looked sharp on the practice court. So we've seen a lot of Dimitrov practice.
He looked sharp, and then he went to three sets with Benito.
And I know people read too much into practice. I think, oh, you know, when people come off the practice court and say, oh, he's been hitting it well, I feel like saying, yeah, they're professional tennis players. Of course they're hitting it well. I think I read more into sort of body language and steeliness in the eye on a practice court, and I've seen a lot of that.
What will happen now is he'll lose just five games, which is my prediction for the last round. So
and you can say that
can
you
I carry
just,
that over?
Yes, you can. Okay, yeah, all bases covered. And we've already covered Burdick Lopez. I think we're both sort of very unconfidently saying we think Burdick might win.
Well,
no, that.
Crazily, I think Burdick will win the tournament, but I think Lopez is going to win the match tomorrow. That's how confused
Do you know
I am right now.
I don't think, yeah. Okay.
That's where my confusion levels are with the tournament.
I think what we're saying is that one's a 50-50. And we'll leave it to Greg at 11 a.m. tomorrow on the Aegon Championships Facebook page. It'll be shared on the podcast Facebook page as well. If you want to know what Greg Rozetsky thinks will happen in that match, because we don't have a clue, then tune in then. But I think we've done all the predicting we can possibly do. We've done all the reviewing we can possibly do. And we should perhaps leave it there for now. But that is only part one of the tennis podcast on day four of the Aegon Championships, because we have a very, very special part two, don't we, where Gigi and I are joined by sort of co-presenter, more than a guest, really, more than a guest, Jonas Bjorkman. Much more than a guest. He was absolutely delightful company. He was Jonas Bjorkman, coach of Marin Cilic, and he joined us for the full part two of the day four tennis podcast. So join us after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, tennis podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking. and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
So here we are with part two of the Tennis Podcast on day four of the Aegon Championships at the Queen's Club. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by a very happy Jonas Bjorkman, because your man Marin Cilic made it through very handily earlier today, Jonas.
Yes, he did. Had a very comfortable match, played very well. Maybe slowed down a little bit in the second set, but managed to put a little bit more energy and started to be a little bit more aggressive, and then finally got the break and won in solid two. So I'm very happy.
And he's won in the doubles as well.
Yes.
He's dominating this tournament.
Yes, and that's what I'm even more happy with, you know, because we tried
to...
You're
more happy with the doubles win than the singles?
I have to say today, yes. You know, we had a goal, you know, to play a little bit more doubles and to get a few more wins, but also to, you know, for him to... get comfortable at the net. We're trying to be more aggressive in the singles to come forward and feel comfortable there. So your more doubles you can get, your more match practice for singles as well. So I'm very delighted that they managed to come through to tough doubles, and we'll have a semis on Saturday.
So have you been happy with his net play when he has come to the net in doubles?
Yes. You know, most of the time I would say he's doing well up there. But it's obviously, when you're not used to it, and it's something that you work on daily basis, on practice, less pressure is obviously easier. And then when you finally do it in a match, like for me, obviously it's important that, you know, I'm hoping that it goes well, because then the more he wins, then he feels more comfortable and confident for doing it more. So it's for me very important. So no, it's good. We're working on it very much, and you know, hopefully we can see more of that in the future.
And I'm always intrigued, sorry, Catherine, about doubles pairings and how they come about. How does Cilic team up with his teammate for doubles when you don't have a regular partner?
Yeah, well, he's very fortunate of having a good singles ranking. So it's a lot of guys around him asking him to play, because...
How many invitations to play doubles would he get at an average event? How many questions would be asked?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's, most of the time he takes care of that, but I would probably guess at least 10. And obviously a lot of guys who maybe is going to be borderline to get into the tournament, and they need his ranking to maybe get in.
So he just sifts through applications at the start of a tournament, does he?
I'm not sure. He's such a nice guy, so I think he probably will go with the one who asks first.
Or does he say yes to all of them and then make you go and tell them that actually he's not going to play with them?
That's what I'm trying to tell him, you know, let me be the bad boy. But no, but it's no, he's extremely nice. So I think the one who asks first, he probably will play with.
That's something that's persistently said about Marin by everybody who comes into contact with him and works with him. He is just such a nice guy. Some people have even thrown about the question, is he too nice to be a great, great champion? Do you think there's any truth in just the concept of being too nice to be a champion?
I think it's a borderline, absolutely, where you sometimes, you know, you don't have to, you shouldn't feel bad to say no. And especially if you are a nice guy and you say yes to most of it, it's people will accept if you say no sometimes. So I think to become a good champion, yes, I think you have to be at least feeling comfortable with saying no. It's not easy, but I think that down the road, it's, you know, you've got to focus on yourself a little bit. But he's doing fine. He's like you said, he's. I'm happy to hear that more people see him as a nice guy, because he's a hard worker, but a very good guy out there.
Now, I don't want to dispel the nice guy rumours, but I was having a chat with Maren. We're doing some question and answers in the hospitality suite. And he says there is a punishment system for the team. He said we're five guys together, and if someone's late or they lose a phone or they miss something, he, as the leader of the team, awards the points and hands out the punishment.
Yes, he's more like a dictator there. We call him the president, but you know, I'm not sure. I think more of a dictator is more the right word. You know, so you never know how many points you're going to get because that's his decision. So if you're late to transport, it depends if you've done it before and all of that. You can maybe forget a glass, sunglasses or something, or you know, you pick the wrong restaurant. So it's an interesting challenge we have every week.
Is there an appeals process?
No, we try, but you know, it's not easy, you know. So, but I'm happy. He actually has been late twice this week, so I haven't seen
for practice.
No, never for practice, but for the transport.
He did say he lost his phone, so he awarded himself a lot of points because that's a ridiculous thing to do. But then he said there was an extra punishment. So the person with the most points, say, then has to, he said, take everyone out to the cinema for a coffee. And he said, if that doesn't work, there's another punishment. I said, well, how can a coffee go wrong? And he said, if the teammates say coffee's bad, you get punished again. I mean, it's never ending.
Yeah, never ending. Yeah, it's sort of. You know, he wants everyone, you know, to be on the toes, and you know, anything can happen. But it's good. It's sort of everyone is, you know, very prepared. Every week we start a new week, you know, and then we have to finish, you know. So we only got a few days left on this one. So let's see. But I'm feeling good.
It's an indicator, isn't it, though, of just how relaxed and comfortable you are in one another's company, about how the whole team is. And it seemed like that was the case from the word go. Of course, Maren won title, your first tournament together. Is that the case? Was it like that from the word go?
Yes. But we have, I should say, a little bit of history. We know each other for a long time. Yeah, it's quite a funny because when he was like 16, 17, he started to work in San Remo, and me and Thomas Johansson was having him as a hitting partner in the beginning there. So we actually know each other for quite some time. So for me, it was very easy to get into his team. Some of those guys have been around for a long time as well, so I know them. So yes, that helped a lot. Otherwise, sometimes it will take a little bit longer.
And it has to really click because you're spending a lot of time together. Recently, we spoke to Miloš Raonic and we said, why has Mark Knowles joined your team? He said, he's a nice guy to listen to and I can spend a lot of time with him. And I think sometimes we forget, if you're committed full time to a player, you're with them an awful lot of time.
It's long days, yes.
Do you ever have to say, do you know what? I really like you, but I want to be on my own for a bit.
Yeah, but I think we have those days. You know, sometimes, you know, we finish late and we have all the treatment. Everything from ice bath to massage and everything, and then once you're finally going to eat something, then you know it might be quicker. Just, you know, we go and pick something up for him, or he might have a room service. So we have days where we don't have dinners, which I think is good as well. Everyone have the possibility to take some time, and then you even have friends to catch up with sometimes as well. So I think, yeah, like you said, it's long days, but it's very easygoing, and I think that makes it so much fun to work together.
And is the setup for Wimbledon this grass court season, have you rented a house? Do you all live together, and does that help with the experience?
I think it does. You know, we most of the time stay in hotels, so it's quite nice to have our own breakfast, and maybe I was going to say someone's going to cook, because it's not me, because I'm terrible. But hopefully,
can you cook anything? You must have a dish that
everyone has a dish.
Everyone has a dish,
even if it's a poached egg.
Yeah, well, I have those bad ones for the kids.
You fish know, fingers,
pasta and macaroni, pasta and meatballs, and all of that. You
that's
know,
but the best
but
dish.
But do you make the meatballs, or are they frozen or pre-prepared?
No, like I said, I'm not good in the kitchen. I mean, I appreciate it that you maybe thought that I had, you know, higher hopes.
I was giving you the opportunity to make your own meatballs.
Your lifeline there, Jonas.
I will get that back somewhere. You know, if someone listened, who knows me? they have to be frozen. So I make it simple. You know, but the kids are happy.
That's the main thing.
Yes.
Just finally, Jonas, I know that Maren is a lovely guy, a very, very
apart
relaxed guy.
Apart from the punishments
guy,
that he hands out and the points to his team.
Apart from his dictatorial side, but generally speaking, he seems so, so relaxed. But there must be a fire in his belly about this week and the opportunity that there is for him to win a grass court title, the best possible preparation for Wimbledon.
Absolutely. You know, he's been playing really good tennis, even on clay. He had his best season with a consistency, and he had his best performance in Roland Garros. So, with that, he came in with a lot of confidence to play on grass, which he normally likes, and play well. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, opportunities are there, but it's there more or less every week, and you've got to take advantage of it. And, you know, hopefully it's going to be his week here in Queens.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you and Marin the best of luck in the singles and, more importantly, yes, in the doubles.
And we will let you go because we don't want you to be late. We don't want you to get fined because the week is nearly over, so we don't want you winning this. No.
Yeah, we don't want you passing any fines on to us.
No, exactly. No, we see. If you're not doing well, you know, we might sort of throw you in there.
We will update you on tomorrow's tennis podcast whether or not we have been retrospectively fined. Jonas, thank you.
Thank you very much
for your company. Best of luck for the rest of the week. And I think that about is a wrap for the Day 4 Tennis Podcast from the Aegon Championships, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We'll be back tomorrow.
That's a lot to remember. You did that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.